our first love for the Holy Kingdom. Brethren, we're happy to be here too. In the age of mechanics, we have mechanical failure. We were to give the welcoming address, and we still intend to do that. It might be a little bit belated. But we're happy to be with you, and we bring you the Christian love and greetings of the brethren in Columbus, Ohio. I would like to explain about the Lord's providence. In a truck to us, they had problems with the plane, so we had a late takeoff, and they failed to make connections. So while I was in the terminal in Chicago, the only flight they had left today was that it would get me on a reasonable time, was at 1 o'clock, which was full. So I thought, well, the Lord can take care of it. If it's full, it's going to be that way, and if there's a seat for me, that's the way it'll be. So I went to check in, and didn't recognize until we had gotten to the counter that Sister Roswick ahead of me. So we started a discussion, and the clerk said, are you two together? Or would you like us smoking? Or she assigned her, and then she said, would you like a non-smoking area? And I said, yes. And she said, I'll seat you beside her then. I was on standby. So she had already told me essentially I had a seat. And so then when it came time to board the plane, of course, she came over with my ticket. But as a result, I received the blessing of fellowshipping with Sister Roswick previous to the flight and on the way down. And while we were there, we encountered some more brethren who were on their way to the convention. As we mentioned, officially, we would like to welcome you on behalf of the convention committee and also on behalf of the sponsoring ecclesias to the 1979 I.O. convention. We prepared the following remarks with the intent of preparing your mind for the week ahead. We think that it's important, preparedness of mind is very important in attending a convention or a study or any of our encounters with the Lord's people, but especially a convention of such nature. We think that if a heart and mind is prepared through attitude and through prayer and meditation, we think that we not only receive a lot more from the convention, but we're also a greater, much greater blessing to the brethren that attend and that we associate with. So in the next few minutes, we'd like to consider with you some of the thoughts concerning preparedness or concerning stirring up your minds to the attitude of appreciation of the basic truths, the beauties of the truth as we learn them early in our Christian walk. When we first came in contact with the truth, we turn our minds to the book of Habakkuk. And there, we'd like to point out that we think the book of Habakkuk was written for us here in our day. The context indicates that in the first chapter. The word Habakkuk, the name Habakkuk, means embrace. We have been embraced by the Lord. In the fifth verse of Habakkuk 1, God is telling Habakkuk, "Behold thee among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." Now, one of his primary applications to Habakkuk, the work referred to here, the work in your days, refers to the harvest. And this is the setting for the book of Habakkuk, as applied to us. Habakkuk, in verses 2 and 3, asks the Lord, "Why did you permit evil? Why did you permit evil?" And that's the question I'm sure that all of us, or most of us, have asked the Lord before we ever learned of the truth. It was difficult to understand, wasn't it? We sought the answer to that question. And in the process of seeking the answer to that question, we became embraced of the Lord and betrothed to a bridegroom.
This is the first time on mine I can turn my controller down.
The Father gave us that answer. It's recorded in the second and third verses of chapter 2.
Couldn't bring it down.
And when I answer you, and say, write the vision and make it plain upon table, that he may run the earth. So the vision is yet for an appointed time.
I don't know why.
Our time. The time when the harvest work would be carried out. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. This is a beautiful vision. A beautiful vision has been laid out on tables for us, so that we can read it fluently as we so run. For humanity, this vision means from paradise lost to paradise restored. And we thrilled. Oh, how we thrilled when we realized that God had a plan for someone other than those seeking him now. That Christ was a propitiation not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. 1 John 3:2. This vision became a motivating force in our lives. For the call that meant from complete condemnation to complete glorification. What is it? The fact that we have the privilege of going from complete condemnation to complete glorification. Beautiful and simple. Paradise lost, paradise recovered. From condemnation to glorification. That's the vision. That's the vision that turned us on.
If they're relatives,
it caught fire in their bones and motivated us to serve our heavenly bridegroom. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, the Apostle Paul mentions how God chooses from the dregs of society those from complete condemnation that he eventually exalts in complete glorification.
You might have sent him to the wrong person.
The base.
Yes, Daring. Well, Rita Daring.
And the quicker.
When did you send him?
Oh, from Earth society. Oh, is that one you're talking about last time?
Made new creatures in Christ Jesus.
I never got
I've had trouble.
Because of the priest.
I've had trouble.
Maybe I better look at the address and see if you got it.
Who became the cross?
I got it in my room.
To Christ.
And Margie said,
our bridegroom.
Sister Martin's address.
Who's that sister?
He took on the loveliness.
Margie said she.
That we've never known before.
You know Sister
Martin's address. It's best beautifully in the Song of Solomon.
Yes, so she always wants to hear from him.
Chapter 5.
Be sure and sign you a note for
what is thy beloved more than another beloved?
Down through the land,
verse 9.
Very
good. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is he? What is your beloved more than any other beloved? Oh, thou fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy. He's righteous, isn't he? But he also is a ransom price for the red man, Adam. He's the chiefest amongst 10,000. His head is as most fine gold, divine. His locks are bushy and black as raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. A sense of justice, but a sense of mercy and compassion and understanding. His cheeks are as the bread of spices. As sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Wisdom. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. Wisdom. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. Sapphires on the breastplate of the high priest represent faithfulness. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as a cedar. Countenance like everlasting life. What a countenance to have. A countenance that radiates everlasting life. This is our beloved. His mouth is most sweet. Nay, he is altogether lovely. And this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem, this is our beloved present. We can be trusted to this beloved. From condemnation to glorification. This vision enlarges our hearts because we joy in the God of our salvation. It broadens our love. It broadens our love to mankind. It broadens our love to the brethren. As Paul states it in Colossians 2:2, we become knit together in love. It broadens our love even to the brute creation. We become appreciative. We become more appreciative of all of God's handiwork. We're stimulated to a consuming zeal, like it was prophetically stated of our Lord in Psalm 69:9. The zeal of thine house has consumed me. The gospel of Christ becomes a fire in our bones that we cannot quench. It engenders a faith, a steadfast faith in the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our Father now, the God of the universe, our Father in heaven. We trust him. We believe his word, his promises are sure and steadfast. Hebrews 11:1-2. We begin to believe in the things that are unseen, and it becomes so real to us that the so-called real about us becomes unreal. We become a new man in Christ, new creatures in Christ Jesus, developing in faith, and we become now related to the family of Abraham. We, through faith, become a part of Abraham's seed and possible heirs according to the promise. Because we are in the process of being baptized into Christ, Abraham is our father also, the father of the faithful. And we realize this precious relationship through faith to our Father in heaven. His oath to Abraham is an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that which is within the veil. Hebrews 6. And we're made like oysters. Oysters.
I was getting mail from people of the same number, but
our creatures.
I took it over a couple of times.
What do you call them, a creature?
Once the letter was late, I thought it wasn't really good.
But because of irritation
or
foreign substance, the bell curls.
You're expecting they come late.
Because of irritations and trials, we begin to develop qualities of character. Resulting from irritations that the Lord provides for us.
Yeah, but it's a shorter tape than I thought it was. But I got a backup there, so when it runs out, we'll absolutely get it on
the record. The truth seems to have the same effect,
I tell you what, Brother Zeno said,
the same power, the same kind of influence on anyone, anywhere.
He spoke about
male or female. Bond or free, rich or poor, any nationality, it's the same power, the same influence.
Men are men of destiny.
We experience this.
What are you laughing about?
For our friends in the audience.
Since 1914, they're all men of destiny. They're members of the wrecking crew.
To see them turn from a pagan religion.
Which is a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
Turn from worshiping multiple deities.
He's way back there.
Oh, yeah.
Thrill to the fan.
I remember him.
That they could have a personal relationship with their Heavenly Father. It was very difficult for them to believe that this God of the universe could be personally interested in them. He's willing to become their Father and guide and direct their lives.
Of
the same truth, the same power, turn them around. When they exercise that kind of faith.
It would be kind of hard to feed yourself standing up.
Well, it has been done.
Joyce,
yeah, sure.
Perhaps even more so than we
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the help.
Linda, our youngest girl, had moved
they couldn't go to the library or the bookstore and find the necessary help. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have the Harvest Message in the courthouse. They only had a volume 1 in the tabernacle. And even that was difficult for them to understand.
Something
mm-hmm.
they took good in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
thrilled.
At the joy of
well,
the truth.
Something they take out in there when their hands get.
And it was thrilling to hear them
they
say.
They can take that out and you can still have use
one of them, Brother Richard Power,
she had both of them out at the same time.
Mm-hmm. He pointed mm-hmm. to the Holy of the Tabernacle.
So.
And he said, I'm in there now.
She could get along very good, though. She was going to try to carry something to her fingers and mother told her no.
One person came and said, I'd like to know that. I'd like to become acquainted with God. Can you help me?
She got a lot of grit.
I'd like to learn how to pray. Can you help me?
She had eye surgery too this summer. It's her one eye.
The truth enlarged their hearts.
Two.
In the creek.
Now then she can tell there's a difference.
Came very self-sacrificing. Loving and helpful to all, including their brethren. They too learn to love the Heavenly Bridegroom as we do. And they thrill. They thrill at the fact when they realized The Lord is present. The Lord is here. It was a blessing to see them grow in faith. In that type of culture, especially, where it's difficult to have the kind of faith that we have, we take so many of these things for granted. They also became like oysters. They began to develop pearl-like qualities of character. It began to adorn them. And the truth became manifest in their life. But as we were removed from this situation to that situation, we gained a different perspective. It was like taking a walk off the earth, looking back and observing and analyzing what we see. Some things were disappointing. We began to see in the truth movement here brethren who seem to be locked into time capsules, who seem to be so involved in their own situations that they begin to lose the purpose and the vision of the whole. We realize that the Lord places us all in certain circumstances. But He also admonishes us clearly not to become attached, not to set our affections on things below, but on things above. Colossians 1:3. We should maintain our flexibility. We should constantly be like Rebecca, willing to do the Lord's will at His beck and call, wherever it may be. We noticed some brethren had microscopes, and they were dissecting the plan so small that they began to lose sight of the real beauties of the truth that we gained in our first love. But picking out specks of truth in the plan and dwelling on those and missing the beauties of what's happening about them and the beauties of the truth and the force of the truth in their lives. Others had telescopes and they were looking at the far picture. They were looking so far away that they couldn't see the details in front of them. They were missing the beauties and the blessings of having things in proper focus. We saw brethren losing the spirit of publicly proclaiming the truth. The spirit of the gospel. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul states in Romans 10:10, for the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesses to salvation. But also, observe some, spending so much time preaching the gospel and working in public works to the neglect of personal meditation, personal study, that it was damaging in that respect. Then we saw special interest groups, or special interest brethren, trying to convince others of their own ideas. It's a malady that afflicts our nation, One of the problems today in Washington are the special interest groups. Everyone trying to influence the direction in their way of thinking. If you have any hobby horses, or if you rode any hobby horses to this convention, we'd like to pray to leave them in the stable this week. And dwell in your minds on the beauties of the truth. The first love that we received, the vision that we received when we were embraced of the Lord. Let's concentrate on the basics of the truth. The vision as we learned it. And rejoice in those things that we have learned. Rejoicing in those things given to us in our first love. In Revelation 2:4, the Revelator rebukes the church of Ephesus for losing their first love. We're not implying anyone is losing the truth. But I think sometimes it's easy for the spirit of that truth to wane, the energizing spirit of that truth to diminish in our life. We saw some concentrating on ecumenism. Ecumenism we deplore for the sake of ecumenism. However, we admonish you to reaffirm your confidence in the doctrines of harvest message that has been given to us and to become established in the truth as we first learned it from the seventh messenger. But in the process, to maintain dialogue one with another. Let us be like the Gideons of old, those who followed Gideon, the 300. Let us be willing to break our vessels, our earthen vessels, in whatever way the Lord may direct, so that we may let this vision and this light shine out to others. You are the light of the world. Don't put your light under a bushel. We're the only ones that have the comfort in the message for the people of earth today. And let us reevaluate our stewardship and our responsibilities over the mysteries of the gospel of Christ. As Paul states it in 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, ye are stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. Let's reevaluate our stewardship. Take a hard look at it and how we are fulfilling it. We also admonish you to take a hard look at the seventh messenger and his faithfulness and the way the Lord used him. And restore your confidence, if you've lost it, in that messenger. We have observed, just in the short time we were gone, a diminishing of respect and confidence from the Laodicean messenger to the church and his message. We would like to stimulate you and to reconsider, not superimposing our own thoughts upon the thoughts of the pastor. The farther we get away from the pastor's death, the less influence he's going to have, and it's just in a natural way. Let let us forbear one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. Being understanding, compassionate, helping each other to become established in the present truth. And finally, brethren, let us become like oysters. Let us let the irritations, the trials, the vexations that we have daily, let those develop in us pearls of character, pearl-like qualities of character that may adorn the purple robe of royalty or the robes of glory and beauty which we'll receive as a Melchizedek priest. We hope that we haven't been misunderstood. We hope that you realize this message is in the form of admonition and concern, and not in the form of rebuke. It's just some of the things that we observe by getting out of the forest and looking at the forest instead of the trees. We think the time is short. And we need to give all diligence to make our calling and election sure.
Keep it dirty, keep it getting dirty. So.
And one of the main means of doing that is to maintain our first love and to have that same energy and motivation consume us unto the end. We trust the Lord will bless you in this convention. We trust that your fellowship, your meditation, and what you receive from the discourses will be a help to you, and that you may be able to leave this convention with a feeling inside that this is one of the best conventions you've ever attended. May the Lord add his blessing. Shall we close this service with number 319? We're grateful to the Heavenly Father for the service and the ministry of our brother Owen Kindig and for his admonitions. And after the closing prayer, we've got some announcements that should be made. 319. We'll stand on the last verse, and Brother Owen will dismiss the service with prayer. And then we'd like for you to sit back down for a few announcements.
Our Father in heaven, we hallow thy name. We are grateful to thee, O God, for all thy mercies and goodness toward us, for the vision thou hast set before us. And we pray, Father, that we may always appreciate it, that we may always strive, be motivated by it, to be faithful to thee and the principles of truth and righteousness. We pray thy blessing upon us now as we wait before thee, and upon the ensuing week of our activities and fellowship together. We ask thy blessing upon us, but not only us, but also our brethren, wherever they may be, who seek to draw nigh to thee. May they be renewed in spirit. We pray thy blessing upon the laborers in the vineyard. May their arms be upheld. May they be strengthened also. May they learn to look to thee for thy blessing and guidance. We commit all to thee, seeking forgiveness of anything said or done amiss. We commit everything unto thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
First, the university has opened what is known as the East Line and the West Line to the cafeteria. They've opened two lines to feed us that much quicker. Both lines are open to us from 7:30 until 8:15 a.m. and from 12 till 12:45 at noon and from 5:30 till 6:15 in the evening. And there are unlimited seconds available, so you can have all you want. Refreshments are served at 9 o'clock in Brentano Hall, the first floor lounge. There's a new program. It's blue and white. There's some changes in the program, and the brethren thought it would save the chairman a lot of whatever by just printing a new program. So there are blue and white programs at the table. The first thing that some brethren have noticed is that there's no Bethel services at the convention. The convention committee has had an idea. They want the Bethel services to take place at the breakfast in the cafeteria, and they have printed up what is called your personal daily Bethel service. So all the manna texts are in it, and the text for the day, Brother Russell's comments, the morning resolve, and they bow unto the Lord, which means that somebody at each table should assume, I don't know if it's word leadership or whatever, assume servanthood and try to get the discussion on the text of the day, on the manna of the day, on the morning resolve, and on the vow, and have a Bethel service if possible. Now, when this was mentioned to me, I said, it's a beautiful idea, and probably 2% to be implemented. I hope you prove me wrong. So it suggested that the Bethel service take place at the breakfast. And these can be had at the registration desk in Brentano Hall. It's to be emphasized again and again to lock your door to your room in the dormitory. Never leave your room. Always be sure that door is locked. There have been problems and are problems. So we are being reminded and reminded and reminded that to lock our doors. There are earphones in the top center for the hard of hearing. And the meeting is now adjourned. Sorry about that. I have too much training, I guess, along this line. The next meeting will begin at 6:45, and enjoy your fellowship.
Well, the other one is going to be a couple of hours, so.
I just want to label his tape.